What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered episode number 609 here on Wednesday, June 10th. And after a long hiatus, apologies, I am back for an episode here with you all. And yeah, it's been pretty quiet on the news front, I'd say. You know,
It's starting to heat back up.
Yeah, I mean, we can't go one day without any major news happening these days. So obviously this morning, some good news, President Trump signing into law the reconciliation, which fully funds ICE and CBP with an additional $70 billion for the rest of Trump's presidency. No longer can the Democrats hold that hostage. On top of this, they got nothing they asked for as part of their ridiculous f***ing shutdown. And so that's a big win there. We finally got that done in Congress. But yeah, yesterday, you know, we had some elections. You know, pretty much expected results.
Yeah.
Nancy Mace's political career is over after coming in last in the primary to become South Carolina's
she
governor.
She got obliterated.
Oh, yeah, it's
obliterated.
Great. Yeah, well, that's what she gets. I mean, you can't be obnoxious and expect to win. Although I am a little disappointed. You know, obviously after President Trump endorsed her opponent, she had that massive crash out publicly on X. She didn't this time, you know.
No.
I guess she knew people were waiting for it and she was going to get dragged. So. but yeah, that was one election result. The other, which obviously was garnering more national political attention, was up in Maine. The Nazi sexual abuser, Graham Plattner, won his primary, which, you know, it was basically unopposed because Janet Mills dropped out.
Yeah.
Well, suspended.
I know.
But what remains to be seen is, you know, I hear there's a little birdie tells me there's quite a bit more out there on him. But most people are holding, waiting to get past the deadline in July where they could replace him on the ballot.
Yeah.
Because they obviously do not want to replace him with a stronger candidate. But, you know, all these people that say Susan Collins is going to lose clearly do not understand anything about Maine or Susan Collins' campaigns, because last time she closed Election Day polling and she was down, what, I think?
Nine.
And then she won by 8.
Yeah.
So
she averages 10 point wins. I mean,
yeah. So that's,
You
know, and say what you will about Susan Collins, what I have to say about her is obviously, yeah, there's many times where she's a thorn in our side. However, it is a very purple, teetering on blue state.
Yeah.
And to have a Republican senator from there who votes with us when it counts is what matters. Remember, she's the one who saved Brett Kavanaugh.
She did.
You know, she voted with us on OBBB. You know, when we need her vote, she is there for us.
Yeah.
And so if she has to take votes here and there to, you know, even things out a little bit, even Steven, then, you know, I don't blame that. You know, obviously, would I love a solid red conservative senator to be in that spot? Sure, but you're never going to get that in Maine.
No.
You're just not. All right, what else do we got going here? Did you guys talk about the Graham Plattner story last week? Because it came out afterwards. You've been following this whole debacle, so why don't you run through it?
So basically, we're going to talk about the New York Times story first. Okay. So we all know about the Nazi tattoo. We know about the set. We know about the masturbating in porta potties, his graphic social media posts.
The porta jerker.
You know, not really being from a working class background. You know, he claims he got a $200,000 loan from the VA. No, it was from his dad. He's a hobby oyster farmer. He has one customer, which is his mom's restaurant.
Hmm.
So it's almost like the guy's serially dishonest. Then the New York Times drops this story about, you know, alleged emotional abuse from multiple women. They absolutely butchered the story. Mm-hmm. One of the ex-girlfriends, Lindsay Fifield, who I know.
Yeah, I know her as well.
She, you know, she basically was like, she went on X after a few days and was venting rightfully, like, where is all the stuff that I told you? Like, the sexual abuse allegations. Well, they said that they couldn't corroborate it. And she was like, I have the people who can corroborate all this. Mm-hmm. There's more corroboration for this story than anything that Christine Blasey Ford said when she lied in front of everybody.
And the text.
Yeah, and then there's a sexting scandal. The other shoe on that is that we don't know how old these women were. I know people are just assuming that they were all 18 and over. We don't know that. And there are also Democratic strategists who are basically bracing for it with the Graham Plattner dick pics. So there's a whole mess with that. And so now we have
well, not
on
to
top
mention,
of that, we have he's now a Me Too clown.
Yeah.
So it's just all bad.
Well, not to mention the whole Kik scandal.
Yeah, that's a it's a mecca for pedophiles.
Yeah.
Which was still active apparently when that got exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is just like a parade of horribles. But and this is all the this is not like us attacking him. This is all Democratic Party opposition research, which you do. We, I mean, you know, everyone does this. They oppo research happens, you know, within in house. The Republicans have not yet begun to
launch. Oh,
there are
so
salvos,
more.
And there's a lot more, and it's going to be a, probably just horrible. So, you know, we got that, and then you're like, how on earth did this guy ever get recruited? Well, the Wall Street Journal caught up with these two Democratic socialist operatives who decided to like recruit him.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't watch the video. The one guy's voice is just super f***ing annoying, and then the other woman is just Fruit Loops. And of course, they don't see anything wrong with anything that they found. Also, they did an absolute job doing all this because they didn't even know about the goddamn Nazi tattoo.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
It's just ridiculous. The whole thing is just awful. And I'm just like, well, you know what? This guy's a train wreck, and he has train wreck people running it. So,
yeah.
And then like, you know, his top advisor, you know, threatening in a text the former staffer, political director, I believe,
mm-hmm.
Genevieve McDonald, who found out and corroborated the sexting scandal, then leaked it to the press. You just cringe at that. Certainly his Democratic colleagues are. You don't put that in writing, A. And B, a man doing it, not good. Also, C, sometimes you just got to take the L and manage the crisis. And
yeah.
If that means you go down in flames, you go down in flames, which I think we all know this is going to go down
oh,
in
yeah.
flames.
Oh, yeah. He's going down in flames.
I mean,
but the bigger problem that I have with it
– it's a circus, man.
The bigger problem that I have with it is after them spending years and years of, you know, saying that Trump is literally Hitler and blah, blah, blah – they have a guy with a literal Nazi tattoo that they're backing to the end of times
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
And so
– I don't want to hear any lectures about fascism anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No. And so, you know, the level that they're willing to go to here to support this guy, given, you know, all the shit that they talk about, whether it's like, you know, bringing back – what is it? Morals to politics and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what?
Well, remember, it makes him a real person.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know, remember, having Nazi tattoos and being emotionally abusive, possibly sexually abusive.
Yeah.
We don't know that yet. And,
allegedly.
You know, allegedly, and sexting with women and, you know, being on a pedophile app.
Yeah, definitely a good guy.
Oh, yeah. It all adds to the authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, if people want real people, not from, you know, Vats as that clown. I think it was Daniel Monar
mm-hmm.
or something. I don't know. Who gives a f***? But – yeah, no. Of course, we all want authentic candidates, and we've been able to sniff out the fugazi ones on our side, oftentimes
mm-hmm.
in primaries. But a Nazi tattoo,
yeah.
Really?
No, I know it's
that adds authenticity. I mean, it adds authenticity to something, which is
yeah.
that he's a Nazi. But it's okay.
Well, yeah, and so the up on the Hill, the last 2 days, there's been some interesting hearings going on. First, yesterday, they had the head of SPLC, which, of course, we know is a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
Literally.
I mean, they are.
Literally.
According to their own definition, yeah. They are a terror organization.
Yeah, well, and not only that, they funded all kinds
yeah.
of, you know, all the
AstroTurf,
saw,
man.
Yeah, all the shit that you saw that they tried blaming on us was actually
yeah.
funded by them.
Charlottesville, all funded by them.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. and so he was testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday, and I mean, there's a million clips that I could play, but let's take a listen to a couple of sound bites from yesterday.
Mr. Fair, did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to have field sources attend extremist rallies across the country?
Mr. Chairman,
it's a simple question. Did you use your donor money for that purpose?
We used donor money.
So yes or no?
To pay confidential informants to infiltrate extremist organizations.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor dollars to have field sources host extremist rallies throughout the country?
Not to my knowledge.
That's not what the indictment says. Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor dollars to have field sources grow existing chapters of extremist groups?
Mr. Chairman, as
it's
I said
a simple
earlier,
question, Mr. Fair. Did you use donor money for the purpose I just read? I'm reading straight from the superseding indictment.
And Mr. Chairman, the indictment will be managed and responded to by counsel in the criminal case that's
pending. Well, you just answered a question from Mr. Raskin concerning the indictment. He asked you, did field sources send information to the FBI that help with things? You answered that question. I'm
that's
asking
a matter of public knowledge.
That's in our public filing.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to have field sources create new chapters of extremist groups?
Again, Mr. Chairman.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to recruit new individuals into those extremist groups?
I assume you don't want me to answer since you're not giving me time to answer.
No, I'm giving you time to answer because that's a yes. Did you use your donor's money for that purpose, yes or no?
Again, those issues will be resolved in the pending allegations against the SPLC.
Well, it seems to me if the answer is no, you could say no.
How many extremist Islamic groups do you have of the 1,500 or so organizations you have on your hate map?
Again, anyone can go to our website.
My office has been looking over it. We can't really find one.
Again, it is the SPLC's.
You think
right.
SPLC could provide us a list of the Islamic-oriented groups that you have on your hate map?
Mr. Roy, we don't target any group because of its religion.
Really?
I want to be clear about that.
Really?
Yes, that's exactly right. We target no group because of its religion. We target groups because they express statements and engage in activities that demean and vilify.
So you brought up LGBTQ groups
sorry,
a second
Mr.
ago.
Roy.
So you brought up LGBT groups a minute ago. So you think there's a bunch of Islamic groups that are pro-LGBTQ? Is that the position of the SPLC? I just want to make sure the record is reflecting that.
I mean, there's so much.
Oh my God!
There. You know, first you have Jim Jordan asking about the funding that we were just talking about, them funding the extremist activities across the country that they then tried to blame on Republicans. Of course, no answer to that because he's also under indictment for that. Then, you know, he can't explain why all these leftist extremist organizations are not listed on their supposed list of extremist organizations. And goes even further to lie and claim that his group doesn't target groups for being Christian. I mean, it's like... I don't understand...
Dude, it was the Twilight Zone, that hearing.
Some of the shit that he said, too, I think could be later proven false in a court of law, and then he opens himself up to lying to Congress charges.
There's some stuff... I'm glad he did, you know, say that shit, but, like, take the fifth. If I'm a lawyer...
Yeah.
Or as a lawyer, like, don't... Like,
well, that was like today.
Disaster.
Today you had the CEO of Act Blue up on the Hill.
Yeah.
And she pled the fifth to every single question.
Including her name. Yeah.
That's
how you know. Do you remember all the, what's it called? Tyco. Remember that whole like early 2000s, all those guys? Bernie Ebers of like, was it WorldCom?
Yeah.
Even he pled the fifth to this name. So I think she's going to go to jail.
Well, I think so.
I mean, besides all, I mean, there's the endless trove of foreign donations and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So. I believe Plattner has a Act Blue link, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Something
all
like
of them
that.
Do.
They all use it. Yeah.
Well, and last but not least, my favorite clip of yesterday's hearing. Not going to play her pleading the fifth for you 50 times, so we'll go back to yesterday. But on the topic of Graham Plattner, Brandon Gill, who's a great, great patriot, one of our best congressmen, had this to ask.
Your organization said that restricting and banning abortion is a tool of the far right uses to maintain white supremacy. Do you believe that pro-lifers are white supremacists?
I believe that reproductive liberty is...
No, do you believe that pro-lifers are white supremacists?
I will tell you what I believe if you're asking...
Yes or no?
I can't answer that question, yes or no.
I don't think that pro-lifers are white supremacists. Do you?
What I think is that reproductive liberty is a right that every woman should enjoy.
How many babies in the United States that are aborted are black? About 40% of abortions nationwide are of black babies. Blacks represent about 13% of the population. Does that sound like something a white supremacist would oppose?
What I would say again is that SPLC supports reproductive liberty.
Calling somebody a white supremacist is a pretty serious charge, isn't it? I would think you would be able to defend that if your organization says that. You clearly seem unable to.
Mr. Gill, I'm not sure why you would think I'm unable to do
anything.
Because
you're the president of the SPLC, which labels pro-lifers as racists.
Well,
does your organization just hurl around epithets like that without any justification?
Mr. Gill, what we do is
I'm giving you the opportunity to
you're not giving
Mr. Chairman, what's he referring to, and can he let the witness answer the question? This is outrageous.
No, it's not. The time
allow him to speak.
I know you don't like my question.
What are you referring to?
I know you don't like my question.
What are you referring to, Mr. Gill?
Time belongs to the gentleman from Texas.
And, of course, couldn't answer that one, and then Jamie Raskin tries to dive in and rescue the flailing moron, and that didn't go so well.
It's like, gee.
it's finally all this stuff, you know, that we knew was going on for years and years and years being exposed, and it's like they have no answers. And it's the same thing as going back to, you know, the reason Act Blue and Democrat candidates are struggling, and the same reason that in South America you're seeing right-wing candidates win across the board is USAID.
Yeah.
All of that money was flowing to left-wing political operations. And so you cut off that money, and now they're really, you know, flailing about trying to figure out how the fuck to make things work. For the first time, you know, you're seeing South America actually elect people without interference from American liberal money. And here in the United States, you know, you're seeing the same thing where Republicans, for the first time, I think, as far as I could remember in modern political history, have the money advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's shocking.
I mean, like, by leaps and bounds. I think the DCCC has no money.
Oh, yeah. All the Democratic campaign committees.
Yeah, like, they're all in debt.
Yeah,
so
they're all dead broke.
Yeah.
So, oh, what a shame.
That's a shame.
Yeah, that's a shame.
That's a shame.
Let's see. Some other big news yesterday. Carmelo Anthony convicted of first-degree murder in the case of the murder of 17-year-old Austin Metcalf.
Not the former New York Knick and Hall of Famer.
Yeah, spelled differently. It was nice to see some justice, but honestly, one, should have been a death penalty case.
Yeah.
And two, the sentence was extremely low.
Well,
in my opinion,
it should have been life without parole if we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And instead he got 35 years.
But eligible for parole at 17 and a half years.
Yeah.
So
it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So while Austin Metcalf is dead now because of this animal that murdered him, in 17 years, this fucking piece of shit could get out of prison. But, you know, what was very interesting yesterday was the reaction outside the courthouse when that verdict came down. I mean, this was an open shut case.
Yeah.
And there's video.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see, you know, all these fucking black people going nuts over this is like, is there any criminal you won't support?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, obviously George Floyd,
you know,
the poster child of a good civic citizen.
It's nuts.
And you know, even elected politicians coming out there defending him. I'm like, what?
I know.
What is going on?
Yeah.
If this shoe on the other foot, you know, it was left to play that game.
Yep.
Shoe on the other foot, there would have been race riots over this murder back when it happened.
For sure.
And instead, Democrat politicians and Democrats raised, something like
$1 million.
Something like
that. GoFundMe had $1 million.
And then they spent that on luxury goods and expensive meals and this and that. And then
The mother was shouting at stuff, free Carmelo as she drove away in her luxury car. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then guess who his lawyer was? Public defender.
Ah.
So we paid for his defense of a murderer. So that's good. Let's see. What else do we got here? Iran seems to be heating back up a little bit. You've been following this story, obviously.
I mean, we're he said about a half hour ago, we're going to attack them.
Good. We just need to finish the job.
He signed the reconciliation bill, and he's basically said that we're going to attack them very soon. I believe power plants are now back on the menu.
Yeah.
Back on, so.
Well, they made a big mistake.
Yeah.
They shot down our Apache helicopter. And so that's,
which was interesting. Some sea boat I saw, an unmanned sea boat, got the guys, which is interesting. So, luckily they're safe. Again, not too pleased with all this aircraft that have been shot out of the sky, to be honest with you. But, we're going to strike back. Enough dicking around. And, just end it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, I mean, Trump has said, I saw, I think Trump has said a deal is near 37 times.
Yeah.
Let's get with the program, Mr. President. I don't think they want a deal. So you gotta, it's just bomb them.
Well, I get why he was doing what he was
doing. Yeah, of right? course. You want to, but it's just like, we're dealing with terrorists here. And yeah. We just cannot, you're not, they just want to buy for time every single time. That's what they did. That's what Hamas did with the Israelis on the Gaza war, which is still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is, you know, Israel has troops on the ground, and mm-hmm. I don't want that there. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of guys. You know, it's going to be a lot of guys.
Yeah.
To do that properly, it's going to be like 500,000 plus, maybe more.
Yeah.
We don't have the manpower for that.
I mean, we'll have to. I don't think that we're going to be doing that on.
No, I don't. I mean, yes, I agree. I don't think we're going to be. But, there could be a few guests on Fox News who might be saying that in the coming days. So,
well,
just brace
yourselves
there,
you
folks.
Know, everyone's got to have something interesting to say on TV. Otherwise, why even bother?
Exactly. I know.
What else we got here? DHS moving to expedite the deportations of illegal aliens found to have voted in American elections.
And excellent.
That was just exposed recently up in New Jersey, especially, where many, many illegals were on the voter rolls and did, in fact, vote in elections. See what else. Speaking of elections, California. We know illegals are voting there.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. But, of course, you know, they stole the election from Spencer Pratt. And, you know, I say steal. Technically, what they did was legal by California law.
Yeah.
But that only serves to underline how ridiculous their voting is. And so you're going to see here over the next couple weeks, we have several big Supreme Court cases that are going to be dropping. I think birthright citizenship and some gun stuff. But the one that I'm really interested in mostly that could have a huge effect on the political landscape here in this country is the Supreme Court ruling on mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
And that what I believe is going to happen is they are going to invalidate counting of ballots after Election Day.
Yeah.
And so,
or at least severely curtail the window.
Yeah.
Because given, like, California, it's like Election Day is, like, forever.
Yeah.
Cannot have that.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that, you know, we've been talking about for years. And so we finally got the case to the Supreme Court that we need to be able to invalidate this. I think they're going to go all the way and say that anything postmarked after Election Day is invalid.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Election Day's over. You can't do that.
Yeah, well,
it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when the crazy one, what's her name? Nityan Raman?
Yeah.
She was crying on Election Night because she knew she was f***ing done. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, the mail-in ballots from the fraud. Fraud. Excuse me. And now she's like, what? She's basically, I mean, if there weren't runoff rules, she would have won the mayor's race.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is really f***ing scary, to be honest with you, to think of.
She's
nuts, folks. You know, I'm not going to go into detail, but she's f***ing crazy.
oh, yeah. I mean, it's and now, you know, you have the Democrats now afraid that she's going to win over Karen Bass.
Oh, I think she will.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think she will, actually. So
she's even worse than Karen Bass, which, you know, is a low bar. And,
yeah.
We're having the same thing here in D.C. Obviously, Miro Bowser is not running again for another term. And the freaking two candidates that have any chance of replacing her, oh my God, talk about like socialist hellhole.
Ugh.
You know, one thing about Muriel Bowser, people didn't love her, but she did play ball with Trump.
She did. I mean, allowing federal law enforcement agencies to work indefinitely with Metro Police and curbing crime. I think she was for the National Guard deployment.
Yep.
That's basically what killed her.
Oh, yeah.
Re-election chances. I think she knew it. Kind of like, you know, how Michelle Rhee being pro-school choice killed her chances. Mayor Fenty, excuse me, who backed Rhee as chancellor of school. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Little
things. Also, everyone runs for mayor in this f***ing city, man. Just how it is. You know, all the ward bosses run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like 15 deep.
Yep. Yep. what else we got going on here? There is some big elections next week, next Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
in two key southern states that are going to really have a pretty large effect. So, first off, we have the runoff in Alabama for their Senate seat, which is being vacated by Coach Tommy Tuberville, who's going to go be the governor of Alabama. He had enough of D.C., which don't blame him. But yeah, it was really and that Senate race is very interesting because, you know, for a long time it was basically conventional wisdom that Barry Moore, Representative Barry Moore, was going to be the Republican nominee there. Well, it went to a runoff. And even though Barry Moore has President Trump's endorsement, he is struggling mightily against conservative upstart Jared Hudson, who, you know, just, you know, Trump endorsement aside, I think that Jared would be a better senator for the state. Now, I'm not saying to, you know, go vote for him, but
he is surging.
He is surging in the polls. Yeah. And I think that there's a very real chance that he is going to win next Tuesday. So that's a very interesting race to watch. And then, of course, in Georgia, you know, always Georgia with these runoffs. Two key runoffs there. We have the governor race, Burt Jones against Rick Jackson. Burt is the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick Jackson. Rick Jackson's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is a rhino. He's a Mike Pence, Jeb Bush type who pretends to be MAGA just to get the vote. And so if you live in Georgia, you know, that's who I would recommend to vote for. And then obviously our great friend Mike Collins running for Senate. And I think that he's going to win. I mean, Derek Dooley is just an absolute loser. And so obviously we will be watching that and covering that for you at townhall.com. Otherwise, obviously, you know, keep an eye on Iran, and we got some Supreme Court rulings coming tomorrow. Could be some big cases. Did I miss anything? I don't think we missed anything.
No, yeah. I think.
All right. Well, yeah, we got to call it because I have a meeting here, and then the congressional baseball game tonight. That'll be fun. Republicans hoping to keep our winning streak going. I mean, if we win this year, we're never going to lose again. Yeah,
at least 10 because
Mark Teixeira
is coming.
You know, the Democrats actually want to ban him from playing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
How insane is that? Like what? You go recruit your own f-ing baseball player. How about that? Great Mark Teixeira, world champion with the New York Yankees, of course.
I'm so happy he got out of that primary.
Yeah.
It was loaded, man, the 21st district, and he's going to win it.
Well, he won it outright.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, we thought it would potentially be going to a runoff.
There was like nine fucking people in there. It was just like, shit. Yeah. And then boom, thank God.
And I mean, to get 50% in a race like that is impressive. So. And he's as MAGA as it gets, too, which I absolutely love. And he always has been. But, you know, especially now going into politics, leaving baseball behind, he really has embraced it. And hopefully run into him tonight at the Congressional Baseball. I mean, he's supposed to be there from what I heard. So, all right, we're going to wrap up today's show. Of course, if you have any comments, want to give us any feedback about the show, Triggered at townhall.com. We love hearing from you. And if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. So many of you are VIP members, and we appreciate and love you. We could not do what we do daily here at Town Hall Media as a whole, you know, including Triggered, but specifically also all of the great reporting and commentary we put out for you all without your support. And so it means the world to us. We love all of our listeners. Thank you for being loyal Triggered listeners. It's why we keep the show going. And unfortunately, I will not be here next week, taking a little bit of vacation for Juneteenth. Going to go celebrate my whiteness with a bunch of white people. But I will try to be here the week after that. I promise that to you all. Again, if you'd like to reach out, Triggered at townhall.com. We love hearing from you. And also, if you haven't, give us a 5-star rating and review. It goes a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithms. And we will, the royal we, will be back here for another episode of Triggered next Wednesday, June 17th.
See you then.